Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days, a 101-night sleep trial, and up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices, up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep, upgrade your life. Ghostbed, the coolest beds in the world.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, traveling widely, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, former Wall Street Journal editorial page, to comment on what we know about the many voices, including the President of the United States, warning, suggesting, challenging, in general, nixing an operation underway, at least to our understanding, in Gaza by the Israeli government defending itself from the attack of October 7th and subsequent attacks by Hezbollah, by the Houthis, by the West Bank, by Iran. Mary, a very good evening to you. What we have is that there is a limited operation in the corner of Gaza. That's all we have. The Gaza corner happens to be significant because it's the Rafah crossing. There are several crossings on the Philadelphia line. This is the one most inbound and therefore most trafficked. The operation is being run very carefully with armor. The civilians were removed from the area. The New York Times tells us three tunnels have been discovered near the border. That's all we have. We also have information that a mid-level delegation from Jerusalem has traveled to Cairo to continue to negotiate with Egypt, with Qatar, and with Hamas in some fashion about the hostages and about the end or a near end of hostilities. The puzzle here is we can do nothing about what's over there. We can do a lot about figuring out what's over here. It would appear to me, looking from the outside with incomplete information, that Mr. Netanyahu and his war cabinet are doing everything that the president has asked him to do, to negotiate, to be very careful, to limit casualties, and also to announce ahead of time, this is limited, this is not Armageddon. To your measure, does the White House want any more than this? Has Mr. Biden been satisfied? Good evening to you, Mary.
Good evening to you, John. Well, the White House, over the course of Israel's response to the October 7th terrorist invasion, has changed. Because recall, at the beginning, President Biden threw his full support behind Israel. But as the politics changed within the United States, so too did the White House's position. And the president even went so far, or rather his cabinet, to float a two-state solution and flew the Secretary of State and the National Security Advisor over to the region to talk to such luminaries as MBS, the head of Saudi Arabia, to try to negotiate a Saudi recognition of Israel in exchange for a two-state solution. So this is while the Israelis are facing an existential threat, not just from Gaza, but from the West Bank, and now also from the actual territory of Iran, because for the first time, Iran has launched an attack on Israel, let's not forget. And so to see the White House floating these notions that have no chance of ever coming to fruition, not because Israel doesn't want peace, but because Hamas has always refused a two-state solution, and because Hamas is a terror group that cannot be trusted, that it slaughtered civilians and is repeatedly saying that it wants to do it again. So I think, you know, Benjamin Netanyahu has been in a very complicated position, both domestically within Israel and with his relationship with Washington. I think he's handled it as best he could, given that he is the one who presided over this terrible failure of Israeli security and intelligence. He has, as you said, continued to offer to talk, even though I think he knows that Hamas is not a trustworthy negotiating partner. But he's also made clear to the United States and to his people that he'll do whatever he needs to do to protect Israel. And so that's why you saw this operation into Rafah proceed, despite the White House protesting it. Netanyahu did order what they're calling a, quote, pinpoint operation rather than a full-scale invasion. That could have been the plan all along. We don't know. It could be due to, you know, their capacity to hold and occupy territory. But one thing is for sure, this operation had to happen because Israel will not be safe if Hamas runs any part of Gaza.
Your measure also, Mary, Hezbollah to the north, you know it well. There is at least 100, maybe 150,000 missiles, some of them very guided, in the hands of mass murderers, people who have killed before, will kill again, and they work directly with Iran. I'm told that that is unsolved. That's not going to go away when Gaza is whatever. That's there, and there have been more missiles, anti-tank missiles, rockets, drones fired from Hezbollah territory, Lebanon, into Israel now, in these last six, 7 months now, than ever was fired before, and the IDF has held off. Your measure of the Biden administration, will they be more supportive if and when Israel must go into Lebanon?
I don't think so, John, just based on their recent statements and, you know, Joe Biden's history in the region. Recall, too, that Hezbollah, it's an immediate threat. I mean, two Israelis were just killed by a Hezbollah drone attack on Monday. There have, of course, been Israeli invasions into Lebanon to try to, you know, reduce the threat from Hezbollah in past decades. So it's a very real possibility. I think Hezbollah itself is probably surprised at Israel's ability to counter the recent Iranian attacks from Iranian soil. I don't think they want to be eliminated like Hamas is being eliminated right now, methodically in Gaza. So there's a calculation going on with the Hezbollah leadership and their masters in Tehran, learning from how Hamas has fought since October 7th, what Israeli capabilities are, but also to see just how far they can go to divide and to sever Israel's ties with its friends in the West. And on that score, I think, you know, the White House's stance toward the Rafah invasion has been very damaging because it sent a message to Hezbollah that we aren't 100% behind Israel. And that, you know, that is very dangerous given the propensity and the hatred of the regime toward Israel. And just, you know, the calculations that are being made right now, everything that we do and say is being very closely watched.
You were many years in Hong Kong watching China. We now turn to a paradox. China's president, Xi Jinping, is in Europe looking for direct foreign investment. He's visiting with President Macron. They're talking about tariffs and barter and exchanging industries. At the same time, I have very good information from people who work there at Apple Daily that Hong Kong has been crushed, that to stay in Hong Kong means that you submit your children to patriotic education at the public schools and the private schools, that there is no freedom of movement. There certainly is no thought that surveillance isn't constant. Crushed. And yet, that was the chief conduit, to my understanding, of investment into China, because you don't trust the courts for mediation in Beijing, you trust them in Hong Kong or in Taipei. And so Xi, having crushed Hong Kong, is now looking for a foreign investment in Europe. These things don't go together, Mary. What's he doing?
Yeah, it's really crazy when you just put it in simple terms that any U.S. or Western investor would risk capital in Hong Kong or even mainland China right now, given what we have seen of Beijing's intent and what we've observed from their behavior. But, you know, John, don't underestimate, you know, the cravenness of U.S. investors to make a buck. I saw just recently a Wall Street research firm trumpeting a trip to China for U.S. investors. Won't it be great? Let's go over and see, you know, where we can still make money and eat off the carcass of what's left of Hong Kong's thriving economy. I mean, it's sad. There used to be a patriotism in America and the realization that, yes, while we're supposed to make profits, we also have some obligations as American citizens, but that just has been thrown by the wayside for many, many years. Now, that being said, the Hong Kong markets have done very poorly in recent months and years as investors have pulled capital. FDI, foreign direct investment into mainland China, is way down. So, you know, the bulk of the investment community has woken up, but not all. I think the real test will be if China ever does get its economy back on its feet. Will investors go back then? You know, there's a good excuse now because the property market has collapsed and, you know, the currency is devalued and you've seen a great, you know, state takeover of some of the more productive Chinese companies. There's kind of an excuse there for investors to say, well, you know, it's not a good investment anyway. But if the tide does, you know, come in again, we'll see just how sustainable this exit has been. I personally think that a lot of investors have woken up just based on the conversations I've had with clients.
Here's a fun mystery. FT reporting. China's President Xi Jinping has lashed out at NATO over its flagrant bombing of the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in 1999. As he sought to cement ties with Serbia ahead of a visit to the Balkan country. Okay, I put all the dots on the table. I happen to know about that Belgrade bombing because it was a matter of bad targeting on the part of the USA. It was a mistake. And yet here Xi Jinping, looking for direct investment, is getting out tongue-lashing directed at NATO while he's in France. Well, he might be in the Pyrenees, the French side of the Pyrenees, with President Macron. Is he well briefed, Mary? He spent some time in America. It sounds as if he's talking to another world.
Well, he's accomplishing actually several things through the timing of his visit and the symbolism of marking the 25th anniversary of that bombing. Namely, Serbia is a close ally of Russia. So by marking that anniversary, he's also signaling his close alliance with Vladimir Putin. Secondly, he's betting that reviving those memories will generate some negative press in the United States about American power and the use of it, which always benefits Beijing. And thirdly, communist parties really love symbolic dates and anniversaries and gestures. And so it's no coincidence that Xi Jinping's trip to Europe was timed for this anniversary. It was done so very deliberately. And as for the European reaction, I'd say that he's also calculating that the Europeans, too, will lament that bombing and the memories of, you know, what happened in the aftermath there. And that it's also an opportunity to turn the Europeans against the Americans. I think actually the one thing that will, you know, resolutely turn Europe against Beijing is not the genocide, the gross human rights violations, the stealing of intellectual property, the unfair trade practices. It'll be China crushing Europe's car market, flooding Europe with vehicles, and starting to put big state-owned European companies out of business. You saw that tension when German Chancellor Scholz recently traveled to China with an assortment of German CEOs, including the head of Volkswagen and Mercedes-Benz, who went with him. And they signed data sharing agreements with Chinese car companies because they can see the writing on the wall. And the Europeans have come a long way in their understanding of the nature and the intent of the Chinese Communist Party, a very long way in just a couple of years, to their credit. They're just not as far along as we are here in the United States. But I suspect that that day is coming and coming very soon.
Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former Senior Advisor to the Secretary of State. And right now, I mentioned that Mary was many years an editorialist, and we're going to play a game when we come back. It's called The Vice President's Game. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.